And now, the life of Mary Sutter. When Mary married Max Sanders, she felt that her destiny as a woman had been fulfilled. She loved him as a woman believes she can love only once during her lifetime. And she looked forward with assurance to years of happiness with her husband. He had become an essential part of her. He was her very reason for existence. And it is not surprising that her friends are distressed by her refusal to accept reality and to face the undeniable fact that Max is dead. Yesterday, when Daddy Stratford, always wise, kind, and understanding, went to talk with Mary, he was alarmed at her quiet statement that Max has not left her, that Max is not dead. Now it is the next afternoon. Mary's young sister-in-law, Phyllis, who has been an invalid since the birth of her second baby, is in her wheelchair in the kitchen of a little house. Her husband, Danny Stratford, wearing a large apron, is standing over the stove, struggling manually to follow her directions in preparing a beef stew.
Yes.
Oh, Danny, you look so awkward. Why don't you hold the handle of the skillet in your left hand and the fork in the right?
Oh, you mean turn the pan around, huh? I never thought of that.
Oh, be careful, Danny. The flame's too high.
Oh.
You're supposed to sear the meat, not burn it.
Sear? Say, where'd you get that $2 word? What's it mean, honey?
It means drown the meat quickly so the juices will stay in.
Gosh, Phyllis, how do you know things like that?
Silly, you have to know more than that to cook three meals a day. Oh, Danny, the pan's burning.
Oh.
You need more fat.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny, dear, why don't you give up and let Mary cook the stew when she comes in?
Give up? Why? Oh, why, Stratford never gives up.
But that's the only reason we persuaded Mary to come today. Because Laura went driving with her father and Tweed Larson. And we told Mary there was nobody to cook our dinner.
Yeah, I know, but Mary hasn't been here since it doesn't seem fair to make her work.
I thought we'd decided to do something to keep Mary busy. To keep her from staying home and brooding about Max.
Well, sure, honey, but... Well, by the rate I'm going, there'll still be plenty of cooking for Mary to do.
I guess you're right. Sure. Oh, that must be Mary.
Well, gosh, what'll I do? I can't leave the stew.
I think you'd better leave the stew before it's burned to a frazzle. Turn off the gas, dear, and drop those pieces into the pot.
Yeah, I'm coming. Just drop them in like
that. Mm-hmm. Just like that. Mary will finish it. I feel almost guilty having her come here and seeing us together and happy when she's so lonely and miserable without Max.
So do I. Maybe that's why she hasn't come to see us, huh?
I'm afraid of that.
Well, there you are. Oh, I'll go let her in.
Yes.
Hello, Danny.
But, Daddy, we thought it was Mary.
Is that Daddy? Come on in.
Hey, Phyllis. Say, you look mighty chipper today.
I'm feeling fine, Daddy.
Well, Phyllis, I'm not staying long. I've come to talk to you about Mary. I want to leave before she gets here.
About Mary? Is something wrong? Everyone says she's been so wonderful, so calm.
That's just it. She's been too calm.
But it's only natural that it's going to take her a long while to get over the shock of Max's death.
Oh, yes, of course. I understand what a shock it's been, but... And so does John Benson, but... we're both worried about her. I know it's the hardest thing we humans have to face in this life, the loss of someone we love. But Mary's in a state of mind that... it ain't quite natural. What she's trying to do, Phyllis, is to pretend that Max isn't dead.
Well, maybe it makes her feel better to pretend.
Yes, I reckon it does. I understand that part of it. I remember when your mother died, Danny. It was months before I could make myself believe she was really gone. That is, my heart wouldn't believe it. But the sensible part of me, my mind, kept telling me that she wasn't there. So, after a while, I had to believe it.
Oh, Daddy, do you think there's anything I can do? I feel so helpless sitting here in this wheelchair.
Yes, Phyllis, that's why I came to you. Now, you're Max's sister. You were closer to him than anybody except Mary. I thought you ought to talk to her alone.
Oh, you mean
I ought to get out of the way when she comes, huh?
Yes, Danny, for a little while. You see, a woman will open her heart to another woman and tell her things she won't tell a man. No matter how much the man loves her and wants to help her.
Well, I hope I won't say the wrong thing, Daddy. She loved Max so terribly. She's probably been crying her eyes out.
Oh, no, Phyllis, that's just the trouble. She ain't cried at all.
Oh.
That's why John Benson's worried. He says the reaction ain't set in yet. He says it ain't natural for her to go on this long without breaking down. But if she don't let down soon, well, he don't know what'll happen. She just keeps saying that Max ain't dead.
Oh. Hey, Daddy, I got an idea. Let you and I duck out right now, and we'll tell Mary we've got an errand to do, huh?
Well, you have an errand. There's not enough butter in the house for supper.
Okay, I'll get some. Well, come along, Daddy. Let's get going. Hiya, Mary. Come on in.
Hello, Danny. Going out?
Yep, I gotta go to the store.
Hello, Mary.
Well, Daddy, Phyllis didn't tell me you were coming for supper.
Well, I ain't, Mary, much as I'd like to. I just stopped in my way back to hotel. Danny's walking downtown with me. I'll see you soon.
I'll be seeing you in a few minutes. So long.
Mary, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, Phyllis, I'm glad to see you, too.
Take off your things and sit down in the big chair, Mary. Max always said it was the only comfortable chair in our house. Oh, Mary, it's so hard to believe. I know how you've been suffering. He was closer to you than to anybody in the world.
He is close to me, Phyllis.
Yes. Yes, of course. He always will be. But, Mary, I don't think Max would want you to stay alone so much. You should see your friends. Get out of the house.
But I'm not alone, Phyllis. Max is with me. And he's closer to me when no one else is there.
Oh, I know how you feel. You want to sit and think about him and pretend that he's going to open the door and walk in.
I'm not pretending anything, Phyllis. I know Max is with me.
Mary, do you remember what Max said just before he died? Remember how he said everything was dark? And then suddenly his eyes opened wide. And he said he could see things he never saw before.
Yes, I remember.
It sounded as if he really saw the future, Mary. He said he saw you all alone. And you were afraid. But he said you shouldn't be. Because he saw a whole new life for you. A life of happiness.
Yes, Phyllis. I remember every word Max said.
You believed what he said, didn't you, Mary?
Why, of course.
Then won't you try to go on as he asked you to? Oh, I know how hard it is. I know how you and Max loved each other. I know you can never forget him. I know it seems as though part of you's gone, but...
Phyllis, you've forgotten the most important thing of all. You haven't remembered everything Max said.
What do you mean?
You heard him, Phyllis. He said, I'll be with you, Mary.
But Mary...
And he is with me. He's here with me now, very close to me. You are with me, aren't you, Max?
Yes, Mary. I'm with you. Don't be afraid.
Oh, Max, darling, I'm not afraid.
Mary, it isn't right for you to be alone so much.
Didn't you hear him, Phyllis? Didn't you hear his voice telling me not to be afraid?
Mary, you make yourself sick. You've got to understand. You've got to face the truth.
Well, you heard his voice, Phyllis.
You must have heard him.
You see, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Max isn't dead.
Is Mary's mind actually becoming unbalanced from the shock of losing her husband, Max Sanders? Or is this a natural reaction? And will time gradually restore her to reality?